welcome to another episode of Mountain Deer Kingdom Dude Talk, real men, manly talk. How do you put up with that?
Well, there's a nice distance now.
Okay.
Yeah, from Wallaceburg to Fairmont.
Every couple days, text here and there.
Yeah.
Andy, you can do the introduction this morning of who's with us.
Oh, well, this is my brother, Brian Tennant.
Brian Tennant.
Welcome to the show.
Some of you may know him already from one of the shorts that we had on Dude Talk, where he was baptized in the river.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
Balmy 38.
He said Nippy. 40. Of course he had to exaggerate it. We're going to get some truth today.
That's right.
So thanks for coming on.
Thanks,
and some of the things we wanted to talk about that Andy's been sharing your story a little bit is you've recently rededicated your life to the Lord. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, January 6th.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then after that, you got baptized how many days after that?
Wait, what?
When did you get baptized after you got rededicated? After you encountered?
So January 6th is whenever I got baptized in the water. I would say, what do you think, Andy? Probably, it's been about a year and a half process.
Oh, okay.
That's came about, but there was like specifics in the, like probably since the beginning of November is where I would kind of like switched into feeling the way that I feel now.
Okay.
And it's kind of ironic that there was a relationship end in September of 22. This kind of broke me. Mm-hmm. And then so I'm kind of like trying to search and figure out what in the world is going on. Like, you know, like it was very profound. So I actually kind of like got into philosophy and just trying to figure out like how to navigate this new world. And, you know, it was more of I prayed a whole lot about throughout the process, but the beginnings of this journey really came from picking up things from, you know, Seneca and Epictetus and those guys. But, you know, when I fast forward till now, I kind of realized that, like, wait a second, these guys were good, but they were of the world, but they were also worshiping a bunch of different other gods. Mm-hmm. So where I feel like I probably had that, I guess you'd call it like a come to Jesus moment, was I was down in Myrtle Beach and I extended my stay for a week and I was there by myself. Had like a real bad day and like I literally like got on my knees and just like prayed. Like just I was like, I'm tired of feeling this way. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, can you like, you know, help me figure this out? And then from there till now, I've just been immersed with the word and I've been being pulled, you know, in that direction. And I've never had these strong feelings towards Christ in my life.
Yep. So from Andy's story or background, you guys grew up in a legalistic church.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you dive into it, what about the way you were raised is starting to maybe even be highlighted, or hey, maybe it's not the way you were taught?
That's a good question. I think that some of the things that we were taught, you know, one of the big things is instrumental music, and it gets brought up a lot, and it gets broadcast out in the pulpit that it's like, you know, it's not, you know, it's in vain worship, or the Bible doesn't say that. And I'm kind of thinking, I'm like, well, where does it say exactly mm-hmm. that is the case? Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing that I kind of think about is, you know, every Sunday where you have communion, you know, I can kind of see where somebody would make that, if you do it every Sunday, then do you get into a routine? Do you kind of like forget exactly why you're doing it? And then you're like, well, I just do it because it's on Sunday. And they pick verses out of the Bible that says, well, on the first of the week, you know, you do these types of things.
Shout out to the first responders. Got to do that. That one was loud.
Yeah. So, yeah, the communion thing, I've had questions about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you do can probably turn into something that just is a ritual that you forget why you're doing it. So I'm not opposed to even having it every week or once a month or whatever.
Right.
If you're doing it for the right remembrance, mm-hmm. for the right reasons, with a contrite heart, and you know, doing it the right way.
But. And my thought is that it's I agree. Like I think, you know, every week is proper. But if there's somebody else that's not doing that, then it's, I don't find that that's something that's like, right. Well, you know, you should,
shame on you.
Yeah.
Well, Acts is the place that gives us the example for that. So it talks about every time that they met together, they were participating. And some of the more direct translations call that the gatherings of people and taking communion were actually love feasts. So it was in conjunction with an actual meal, similar to what the Passover meal was like. So when people were coming together, they were also acknowledging that Christ was in their presence. Mm-hmm. It was just, when you read scripture, that's the way it comes across. And now we've very much formalized it. So it's not a meal. It's just a little cup and a biscuit that we take. And it's symbolic of the blood and body of Christ. And it's part of our worship at this point. But I think the early church did it differently than we did. Anyway.
Side note, I'm sorry. I know we're talking about with Brian here. But the communion thing, I talked about it last Sunday in my Sunday school class just recently. I heard this said, but, you know, communion, why do we take the cup? Well, mm-hmm. because Jesus offered a cup to his disciples, mm-hmm. okay? And so in Jewish tradition, right before the wedding, the bride would offer the cup to his bride, and if she took it, then that marriage was like, she's accepting the marriage, okay? And then the night of the wedding, the husband-to-be would leave and prepare a place for his bride. So that was perfect when she got there. So awesome. What are we as Christians? We are the bride of Christ.
Right.
So when we take communion, the symbolic of we're taking the cup, you know, Jesus' blood, and then he has gone away to prepare a place for us in heaven.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool, and just kind of get that visual correlation mm-hmm. of what communion is and why he left us, because he's preparing a place for us. I think that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to completely jump back to where we were. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Wait a minute. One more thing.
when you start diving into the word, because I love how you describe it as there's this pulling
sure.
you to it, and you've compared it with other philosophers, and you've been reading a lot. But going back to how you were brought up, where do you think a lot of that symbolism comes from? In reference to the communion every Sunday, the habits of it, and more of the progress instead of the meaning behind it.
I think that it's more of a, I don't know, probably just that's the way that we were raised, just the way that my dad was raised, and mm-hmm. it just kind of gets brought forward. And I think that it seems like to me that it's a lot of things are. It's very. Maybe it's a superficial level of understanding of the word, and I think that it's kind of comes from it being like, you know, we've been taught to fear the Lord, mm-hmm. and I think that like where that I feel like where we were raised was it was like, well, fear the Lord and like don't get another book to kind of understand further. It was like just read this and this is all you need, and I think that you kind of miss out on what the actual relationship of you having one with God means if you're afraid to like not look deeper into the word.
Yeah.
And
so part of me agrees with that. That is all we need, but there's other resources that we love Tony Evans, right? That I read a lot of his stuff because he has been inspired by God to
right.
deliver this message.
Right.
So they go hand in hand.
Sure.
And I will use that to kind of agree with, or as I can't think of the word, as a contradiction, right? If anything in a book contradicts that, then I know that book is wrong.
Exactly.
And that, right. So I use that as a guideline mm-hmm. for the other stuff that we read. Yeah.
And sometimes, like, to me, it's like having like a highlighter, you know, mm-hmm. of that. Like, it's like if I'm reading it and I'm like newer into this, like it's nice to have somebody else's kind of like to kind of breathe light to that. And then it just opens up more.
It's no different than the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, we hear the story about that where the dude's reading in Isaiah and he's like, how do I understand this without somebody to teach me? So the books that you've been reading, and really mm-hmm. I think that's been something that has opened up your vision, is that you're now seeing the perspective of Scripture from somebody who's edifying you, who's mm-hmm. lifting you up through these studies that are saying, hey, this is the within context of what Scripture was saying, and this is really what they're getting at around here. So you're able to understand the more fullness of Scripture when someone provides context. Because mm-hmm. you can read the Word all day long, and you can get everything from it, but sometimes we need a little help in understanding it.
Well, that's why it's called the living word of God, because there's going to be a different enlightenment for everyone reading it, not a different truth, but a different enlightenment for what they're going through in that day.
Sure.
And it's called revelation knowledge, and that's what Paul is asking or praying for the people in Ephesians. You know, pray for that your eyes of understanding be opened and give you revelation and wisdom and the calling that God has called for you. So it's all these preachers and teachers, if it doesn't contradict this, then I'll listen.
Sure.
And then there's going to be different insight. Like the commentary on here, it's not necessarily great revelation, but that's a breakdown in correlation and analogies of how you can apply it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I love. So anything contradicts this, walk away from
Absolutely.
It. But yes, there are a lot of resources out there. But
that's been, I know, a lot of the issue, especially dealing with the things we were brought up with and how those challenge what you're reading in Scripture. I feel like those have really been highlighted, and you've been thinking a little more freely about what you're reading in the Bible now because of those extra sources. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Like the individuals that I've heard.
Yeah, so like for instance, you're doing the MacArthur study on on the parables. I think that one really opened your eyes to a lot of thinking differently than what we knew.
Well, I think too that I would say that as Christ has moved me into this, like it's whenever you read it, like you know, it's I'm now hearing it the way that you're, you know, that somebody that has been converted does hear it, and so. But that, you know, hearing this, like reading those parables, you know, the one that is striking to me is the Pharisee and the tax collector at the temple, and so you know you've got that guy like you know well I'm so glad I'm not like that tax collector and you know I tithe and I do this and I do that and here's this tax collector just beating on his chest saying I am not worthy, and Jesus is like one of those guys left justified, the other one didn't. And that kind of got me thinking about, like, you know, like, there's a lot of things that I feel like growing up that, you know, we kind of hang our hat on with the way that we do, like, religion, like, the way that we worship is, like, this, like, oh, well, we do it right, and anybody else that doesn't do this, that's not in this type of denomination is incorrect. And, like, it was such an eye-opener to me because, like, I think Andy and I both agree that, like, we grew up thinking that, like, if you did not go to the Church of Christ, that you had no chance.
Yeah.
You know? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that that seems to be – that's the message that I brought through up until, you know, the last year or so.
It's the emphasis on works.
Yes.
And there, you know, faith without works is dead. We understand that we've got to do some things. Mm-hmm. But Levitical law says you have to do these things. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're not going to enter the gates of heaven. But Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it and make it perfect. So now it's not bad. It's not what we do. It's what he has already done for us. Mm-hmm. Now, should we still try to be holy, which is set apart? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We walk away from those things. We choose to walk away from sin in our life. But if we fall and fail, which we will, there's not that condemnation because I didn't do this.
Yeah.
There is, all I have to do is come with a contrite heart and say, I repent again. Sorry, Lord, I repent. And you're cleansed again.
But it sounds like, growing up and the way you did, it was more of, this is how you have a relationship with God, or this is the checklist you have to do to make God happy. And what it sounds like you're experiencing now is a living relationship.
Yeah.
Through him and not somebody else's direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's what it's, because I think I remember I told you, like, you know, I don't know, maybe like 5-6 months ago, I was like, you know, it sounds like it seems like it's a personal relationship.
Right.
And maybe it wasn't kind of impressed upon that, or I just wasn't paying attention because I was a kid, but it seemed like it was. But that was, you know, whenever Jesus was on the cross, and that whenever that happened, and that in the temple, the thing ripped,
veil,
and that was that opened up the door for all of us to now have a personal relationship with Christ, instead of have to have a priest to kind of go and talk to him for you. Mm-hmm. And now you can be led by the Spirit,
right?
You know, and that's where, like, where I feel like I'm at right now is that, like, I spent a bunch of time understanding how to fill myself up with the Spirit, and, like, you know, ways like to not quench the spirit and like try to keep that mm-hmm. because that's that beacon of like that's what keeps you away from mm-hmm. you know temptations and things like that. And it seems like if you're kind of walking that toting line of well, I like worldly things, but I also like the Holy Spirit, or you can't serve two masters, and which one are you filling up?
Right.
And so I found like, you know, like I haven't drank in a while. I smoked cigarettes for a long time, and I quit a couple years ago, and I was doing nicotine patches. And so like I'm like, I'm trying to get anything out of my daily habit that it would be impeding the Holy Spirit from fully being within me.
Right.
Amen.
And so like that's where it's like, you know, I think Luke 11 is very good with that, where it talks about like, you know, basically like a worldly father, if the son asks for bread, is it going to give him a scorpion? I think they do a couple different things.
Yeah.
And then Jesus is like, well, you know, if they're willing to do that, how much more is our heavenly father willing to give his sons and daughters? And so, and I take that and I'm like, okay, well, then you can follow, like, well, how do you quench the spirit? Well, things of the flesh. And so to kind of like balance that out, and it just kind of, that's where, that if you work toward those things, that's like, you're building your shield.
Yeah.
You know, that you can navigate and you can help others and you can like feel very confident that anything that comes my way, yes, I still have to deal with my sin nature, but the more that I kind of pour into having the ability to have more of that Holy Spirit, the more that I'm, you know, I'm sound.
We were working through Romans 5, 6, 7, 8 last night, and it's much in the context of faith without works is dead. But the thing is that when we come to faith, our works come out naturally as we've been transformed by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And 5, 6, 7, and 8 really talk about that juxtaposition between the Spirit-filled life versus the flesh-filled life. And while we live in the flesh, we're filled with the Spirit, and our Spirit is what's living inside of us that allows us to be this new creation. It's just amazing what that transition looks like. But Paul really calls out the duality between those two natures and how they're constantly in conflict with one another. And that's exactly what really we've been talking about for months is, hey, how do I make this transition? And Brian articulated very well last night the manifestation of that was I wanted to be filled with the Spirit, so I had to cut off the worldly parts of myself. And that is such a beautiful image for exactly what Christ does, but it's not because of anything that you've decided to do. That's been because he's been seeking the Spirit being filled, and that natural transition. Mm-hmm. You've talked about the one older gentleman in our church, Navy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Changed immediately.
Yeah.
Delivered from cussing, but still battled some other things. But I just want to point out that one of the comments we received recently on one of your shorts was, how you said I've come to find or something like that, and got made it seem like you're the one who discovered it. When we talk about things like that, it's because the word is a living word of God, the living word of God. When someone says I've come to find, that means that revelation knowledge just smacked me in the face. The Holy Spirit gave me this truth, so I've come in my personal life to find that this is true. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to where you're talking about the veil being torn, and now we have direct access to God. That's another question I want to kind of answer real quick. You know, how and why did we pray to Jesus and not God? If the blah blah blah, I can't remember the whole question. Like, who's God? Who's Jesus? If they're saying they're one, well, they are one. Mm-hmm. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. God is the Holy Spirit. Jesus, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit. It's the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And so we don't pray to Jesus. We pray to God in Jesus' name, mm-hmm. and He's our advocate. And I like the analogy I've used a couple of different times that God is our judge sitting on the, with the gavel. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our lawyer.
Yeah.
He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's speaking on our behalf, saying, this is, he did these things, or she, but I've forgiven him, mm-hmm. or her. And now bring him into heaven. You know, so that's, we pray to God in Jesus' name because the veil was torn. Now we don't have to go to a priest, that middleman. We go directly to the Father through Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, so again, Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 talks about our adoption as sons and daughters of the living God. We are on the same level as Christ as a result of what Christ did on the cross for us. And anybody who's questioning that, read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Romans 8 opens up, now for there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And we talked a lot about that last night because you're battling too with the idea that, how can I be forgiven and it just be so easy? Like, you want to talk about that some? Because that's been a really good conversation.
Well, that's a struggle for a lot of people, but yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just the way that I was raised, and I'm still trying to, like, unlearn that, but, like, and maybe it's kind of been put to me that way, was that, like, you know, it seemed almost very difficult, almost, like, impossible to get there. And then whenever you talk, like, whenever Andy and I are discussing, it's like, it almost, like, it tears so much away that it's like, is it that easy? And, like, and the fact that I'm like, it's that easy, I'm like, wait a second, like, nothing in life is too easy. And Andy's like, well, you know, this is the way that it is. So I struggle with that because, like, it's more of unlearning things, and that just being more sure of my faith. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was like, you know, because I always looked at it as, you know, Jesus died on the cross so that we can ask for forgiveness, but there's still constant work on, you know, our day to day. And it's like, mm-hmm. you can't say, put your hat on that and say, oh, well, then I can just live the way that I want to live. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's also, if you are truly converted, then your heart has been changed. And so, you know, you start to hate the sins.
Yep.
And so you start to act and behave a different way. And I think that that's a tall tale sign of a truly converted person versus someone that's just, yeah, I am.
Yeah. You know, the hardest part is understanding the forgiveness is done. But really, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but probably the easiest thing about Christianity is saying, forgive me, Lord, you know, because mm-hmm. that's how easy it is. Forgive me of all my sins. Boom, it's done. It's forgotten. Understanding that is difficult. And like you said, we have to go out and we have to say, turn away from sin. And so we've got to despise the sin in our lives, despise sin around us. But once you start realizing, if you don't have that conviction anymore, you better get back to asking, Lord, convict me of these things, because that's a dangerous side to be on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I get it. The understanding that you've been forgiven, that condemnation comes from the devil. He doesn't want you to know that forgiveness. Mm-hmm. He wants to remind you, you're not anything different now, Brian. Mm-hmm. I know who you are. Jesus knows who you are also. Mm-hmm. But I mean, from what I understand and how I believe, he knows nothing of your past. He just knows who he created you to be.
Right. Yeah. So I want to go back to the comparison between you guys about how when you're overseas in Afghanistan and you're surrounded by chaos, you find you've really got closer to God. Here you're at rock bottom, it sounds like, in your personal life, and then you're searching for something to kind of like, okay, what do I do now? But you found Jesus. So what was it in that moment when here you are at rock bottom, your life's changed from what you thought it was going to be, that peace when Jesus is like, okay, I got you. Walk us through that a little bit.
Well, so I think that's a good question, because I think that there was, I would say that the relationship that I was in, I shouldn't have been in to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I think that there was a time where I was left to my own thing. Like the Pilgrim Progress, whenever he's in despair, like, I felt that for a very long time. And so I don't know if I was, you know, obviously he was there, but it was almost kind of like, well, no, you're going to sit and fester with this for a little bit. And so I started reading Ecclesiastes, mm-hmm. and I would read Proverbs, because then there was something in my mind that was like, you know, like, how did I miss this so bad? Like, what did I do? Because I thought I was doing everything that I needed to be doing to keep this thing going in the relates of a relationship. And so I'm like, how did, like, you know, I missed this. And so I'm like, okay, well, I need wisdom. I need understanding. And yep. So I was able to pull from, you know, being raised in church, is that, like, I was more worldly, but I always had that to pull from because it was ingrained in me. So anytime it got bad, like, I would pray. But Ecclesiastes basically, like, you know, taught me that everything in this world doesn't matter. And, like, it was like, that was the beginning of I feel like Jesus saying, hey, you need to understand this, because you think that I need to have $1 million of this, and I need to do this, and I need to impress all these people in this world. And Ecclesiastes is there saying, mm-mm, not, none of that is worth it. And so I started coming to that realization of like, man, I'm being pulled in the wrong way. I'm being pulled, you know, in this thing. And so, I go back to being down at Myrtle, and like I was starting to feel better, but it was still that like clunky, like I'd have four mm-hmm. good days and a bad day, or and the bad days were really bad. And I was like, you know what? No one's here. And I was like, I've never just like got on my knees and just like let it all out. And so it was more, it just kind of like, as the days went on, you know, I would say that when I look back at it, I can see where Christ was there the whole time. You know, it's not until you kind of get out in the clouds kind of clear that you can kind of pan backwards, and it's like he was there every step of the way. I kind of think that he, like, the relationship was there, and then there was a reason why he brought it into my life. There was a reason he took it out of my life, and I think because it was probably the first time that I firmly was able to love somebody more than I loved myself.
Okay.
And so I think that was kind of like an important message. And then I was willing to do, like, I was willing to change for somebody that I wasn't willing to do. And I feel like that was kind of like, you know, and then whenever that hit rock bottom, it was like, well, now you love me. This is why I put you through this, is that I needed you to learn that I love you this much.
Yeah.
And I love you this much that I'll take you through this and break you down to nothing and bring you back up, and then you're going to be the person that I want you to be, that I need you to be.
Man. So, and then you go from, I'm going to butcher the name, Southern accents with the name. How do you go from
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes.
How do you go from... So here's you're getting some
Dubodomini.
Yeah.
Plus the list of these.
You go from getting some worldly book. Knowledge, and then Jesus is like, okay, so here's a taste of it, but let me give you true knowledge.
Talk about what you, when you were going through all the Stoics, what you did in terms of buying the pictures and that process.
Oh, yeah. So this, like, in tandem of reading Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, like, you know, there was an author that took Stoicism and like kind of like brought it in today's world, and so I was like, man, this guy's really helped and whatever. So I bought pictures and put them up on the walls, and the reason for that, I was like, well, because it helped me, and I thought, okay, well, when somebody walks through the door, you know, like somebody's like, oh, who's this, and I'm like, well, let me tell you about him.
Mm-hmm.
And through this process, and I probably put those up almost about a year or so ago. And I'm sitting there, like, what was it, about a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, about a month or two ago.
And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, and then I think about, like, you shouldn't, or the number one thing is not have any other images about or before me and this and that. And I look up and I'm like, I shouldn't have these on my walls anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a thought that came to my mind. I was like, I'm not bringing that those guys up there is not bringing glory to God. And so like I took them down and I burned them in the fireplace. Like I was like, I was just moved to where I was like, I can't have those people, you know, cause you read them. And like when I would read them, Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, and he would pray to this God or whatever, and like in my mind I'm like, he just got it wrong, like there's only one God, like I was like kind of like
justifying it.
I was fixing it. I was like, he doesn't understand, but I know mm-hmm. who he's talking to.
Yeah.
But to, again, this to kind of I don't know, to have those on a wall and not being able to have conversations that are guided toward God more so than, and I was like, well, then I just don't need to have anything on the walls.
Yeah.
Kind of had the spirit of paganism surrounding your home,
mm-hmm.
you know, not even knowing it until you got the, again, revelation knowledge.
Yes.
And that's that that's that condemnation, the feeling, the conviction in your heart. I want to go back to earlier, you mentioned how you were reading a lot of different things and they were talking about a lot of different gods and stuff, and eventually brought you back. I saw a video of this guy talking about how he was really digging into religion. And he was like, and I found all these religions, they all talked about themselves and Jesus. But then when you read the Bible, Jesus just talks about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, he said, there's got to be something to this. So that's what brought him closer to Jesus. So, I mean, you have that revelation knowledge again where you're like, this is all talking about Jesus. So let me just dive into who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you learn. And then he just engulfs you and surrounds you. And mm-hmm. That's really cool.
The reason I told him to bring that up is because I've had the honor to sit back and watch this transformation over the last year to 18 months, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's been so cool to watch how you have just gone from, hey, I'm digging into these Stoics, and dude, there's so much meat. And honestly, there's a lot of good knowledge that the Stoics talked about, the disciplines for life and all those things. But like Brian's been saying, there's no foundation in Christ. And as he's come to that foundation, there at some point in probably the last 3 to 4 months, you've just kind of made the, dude, I'm sold out. And mm-hmm. everything went from talking about these ideas to now God is the focus of that conversation.
Sure. Well, that's the, so there's, I would go to the library, and there's like, there's a book on the lost books of the Bible. And there's correspondence between Paul, which I'm assuming is Paul from the Bible, and Seneca. And then there's conversations back and forth between the two of them, and very flattering words between the, and the one thing was that it seemed like Caesar or Seneca was presenting some epistles of Paul to Caesar, and Caesar came back and was like, you need to change this language. And Paul was like, no, this is God's words. Like, we're not changing any of this. But the ironic thing about that was that there was a letter back from Paul to Seneca, and Paul basically says that your discourses are wonderful, and if you would infuse them with God, that you would bring a lot of people to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that, and I'm like, you know, like, so, but it was just funny how that kind of worked. And it was right at then I was like, oh, like that kind of was like an aha moment of like, there's something to that. But Paul also indicated that like, you're missing the main ingredient.
Right.
But I had that main ingredient from growing up. So whenever I read that, I was like, I'm thinking like, well, maybe it was like a backdoor way around to where I needed to be. But ultimately I got to where, you know, like I would quote those guys all the time, and now I don't. Like, now it's quotes out of the Bible. Like it like completely switched, you know. Like I would talk to, like, my dad and I walk up the hill, or my friends would say something and they'd be down or whatever. And I'd be like, well, Seneca says this, or Epictetus says this. And now it's like, well, Jesus said this in this parable. And like, it was just a complete 180, and it just kind of like, and it's just, I can't explain it other than it's not me. It was, I'm being pulled. I've been
this guy on the mic.
The tenets in these mics. Wow.
High fives.
And then the whole thing just falls.
So you just kind of get to the point where it's like that full surrender of that, like, it's not me. It's never been me. Everything that I've been able to do is because of God. Because mm-hmm. and with Jesus, and like, you know, and it's I feel like I've been liberated of all the stress and the anxiety and things that I was carrying because I was trying to impress the wrong people.
Well, just like earthly fathers, we want to kind of mm-hmm. walk with our sons or our daughters and see what they're going to do, mm-hmm. and if they're going to make this little mistake or if they're going to fall, we'll be there to catch them. Mm-hmm. But we want them to learn on their own. So God's been with you this whole time, like you've said a number of times so far. And he's like, okay, so he's figuring this out. And now, boom, aha moment. Okay, come to me. Like the celebratory, God picked you up from the armpits and embraced mm-hmm. you kind of thing when you came to that knowledge. That's a cool moment to think about.
Yeah.
Sure.
There's I must decrease so he can increase.
Mm-hmm.
Probably butchered that like the eye of the camel. But and that sounds like that's what, the more you get Jesus and his word, you're filling yourself up with actual truth.
Right.
And that other stuff just kind of doesn't mm-hmm. matter anymore.
No.
It's why the Bible is such an important measuring stick. If anything contradicts that, and we have that, his word, as the foundation, if anything comes against it, just, well, then I don't have to focus on this anymore.
Right.
That's not where my thoughts go anymore. Because if it contradicts truth, get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to someone who has never had that relationship, or has kind of been in your shoes? Like, what do you think is the big holdup about finally breaking down and saying, all right, Jesus, here I am?
Oh, you have to let go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For dudes, that's hard.
Yeah, and it's because, you know, I would say that that's what it is that I think that, you know, I was out with a buddy the other day, and he was like, and he made a comment of like, well, no one's going to do what's in my best interest but me. I have to take care of me. And I'm sitting in the back of my mind, I'm like, that's not the case.
Right.
Like, and so, but we're raised to be taught that way. And I would say that that's the biggest thing, is that you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to carry this weight that you feel like you have to weight, that you have to carry. And you know, the more that you read it, the it promises rest. It promises peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel like I definitely feel like I've just been liberated, because I've let all that worldly stuff go. And I really like the thought of, or the verse that says that what is a man to gain if he profits the whole world and loses a soul?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that's that, like, that's that beacon of thing. When I'm going to do something, I'm like, well, who's getting the glory? Is this glory for me, or is this glory for God? And I kind of like drive myself toward that. But the other thing is that I would challenge anybody that's interested in it, is that I think that religion has gotten a bad name, mm-hmm. in the press, because, you know, you always hear that, you know, oh, well, it's a man-made religion, it's this and this and this. Well, you're only hearing the bad things about it. And it's like, and so you kind of allow that to be your, what your opinion is. But if you read the Bible, you find that all the things that you're saying it's completely far away from the truth.
It's completely out of context.
Yes. Like, you know, it's, oh, well, it's there to, it's their control with money and things, mm-hmm. like that. And it's like, Jesus talks about that, and all the way through the New Testament, that money is the root of all evil. Like, you know, it's
our pastor always says, and I love it how he says, everybody always wants to say that Christians only talk about what we're against, but the Bible clearly talks about what we're for.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to really press forward. And when we're talking about Christianity and walking with Christ, it's, what are we for? Of course, we're against sin. That's the only thing we're against, is, mm-hmm. sin. We are for freedom. We are for peace. And whether people agree with it or not, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, porn addiction, all this stuff, God doesn't want that in our life. He hates the sin.
It's destroying us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He does not hate the sinner. He is against the sin, but he is for you. He is for your freedom, for your peace, for your joy. Mm-hmm. And the devil's only job is he comes but to see, or to kill, steal, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And when people realize we're a message of hope, that's where the breakthrough comes, because, you know, so many other religions don't really give us a hope. We have a living God. He's still alive. Mm-hmm. And we have a hope of eternal life. No other religion promises that.
Well, you brought it up, and there was one of the comments we had was, one of the viewers had said that the Bible is a book of hope. And then another comment was, well, yeah, it's hopeful if you're a man, but if you're a slave, a woman, or a child, it's not hopeful. And I'm like, so in the second book of the Bible is one of the largest freeing of slaves in the history of humanity,
mm-hmm.
right? We talked about it earlier. Christ came, his bloodline on his mother's side was from Rahab, who was a harlot.
Mm-hmm.
And that she is remembered through the test of time and of a faith leader about how she stood with the Jews and Joshua and Caleb, and she hid them to bring out or to overcome. And in children, God said, if you hurt one of the children, that it's going to be better for you to have a millstone tied to your neck and thrown into the deepest part of the sea.
Yes.
But yet it's not hopeful for these people. Right, that's cherry picking a narrative that they're trying to push forward when they don't fully read the Bible and get the true meaning and the context behind it. That book is a book of hope for everyone, no matter your circumstances.
Yep.
Sorry, that tangent. No, that comment hit me. It's like, what do you mean it's not hopeful for women and children? Like, our job as men is to love like a lamb, but be ready to defend like a lion, mm-hmm. and we defend our wives and our children, and we stand up for the orphans and the widows. Like,
it fires you up. It's broken out and it's taken out of context, period. It's just a simple, the culture has taken some of the things in Scripture and has distorted it for their own purposes, and that has built this concept that religion is associated with all these negative things, and it's, religion is built from men. Like, the church is composed of people, and the people aren't always perfect. Christ is perfect. That's why we're always focusing on him. At some point, I'm going to fail. And if you're watching me, you're going to eventually see me fail. And if you're putting all your hope in something I'm doing well, I'm going to let you down. But when we put our hope in Christ, when we lean back on the foundation that he gave us,
yep,
then that's whenever we're able to make that transition. And yeah, we're not so dependent on those cultural nuances. Well, the Bible's all about men, and the Bible's all about beating on women and making people slaves. No, that's what some people have used the Scripture for their own glorification. But when you actually go back to what Christ did for us and what Christ represents, it's the polar opposite of that.
Yeah, that word religion always gets me.
I don't like it.
What religion are you? Okay, I'm Pentecostal. I get it. But when people say, and I, the song is great, it's a good song, but give me that old-time religion.
Yeah.
I get what it's saying. I get it. Let's bring it back to the roots. I get what it's saying. But when you go back to the old-time religion,
mm-hmm,
that's living in a bondage, if you ask me. I mean, it was good for a time. But, you know, Jesus sets us free. You know, not because we're free to do whatever we want, but we don't have that religiosity. We don't have to, we talked about already, we don't have to do. Jesus has already done. And we have that freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
What are you looking at? Agree or disagree? Well, you said something earlier about, I was just going to allude to the verse Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and your thoughts are my thoughts than your thoughts. So basically, you know what you're saying. You're reading these things. I was doing all these things, you know, trying to do what you thought was right.
Mm-hmm.
But your thoughts, even though they're good thoughts, are not his thoughts. He's got better plans. He's got the truth. He is the truth. So that, I think you mentioned that. That's why I looked it up real quick.
What pointers do you have for somebody that's been in your shoes? Like you said, it's hard for to let go, right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you help? How would you tell someone to start letting go? I know that's kind of a loaded question, but
well, I mean, if you think about it, like, show you, like, I mean, the example of how hard it was that it took something catastrophic for me to begin that process. So had that have not occurred, I don't know that I would have let go, or it might have taken something longer. So I mean, it was an earth-shattering thing in my life that, like, made that even possible. So I mean, I wouldn't go and advocate to go get your heart broken, but
go fall in love and then,
yeah. And then let it just like spin and burn. And then, you know, and then you know, and go with it that way. But I mean, be proactive about it would probably be, but then again, you know, like if you're a chosen people, you know, like, you know, how do you, that's the thing that Andy and I were talking about, was that, like, you know, at what point are you, like, predestined for that, or, you know, so something happens, or is it within your free will to, like, you know, like, I could have taken that same scenario and just completely fell myself into a bottle, or, you know, just completely got angry and just decided that I wanted to take it from that way, or was God completely in control of that whole entire situation and pulled me the way that he wanted?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the piece of it that I kind of, like, you know, like, how much of it was me and how much of it was not me. I think that I was pulled through Christ, but I remember, like, writing in my journal whenever this all started happening, was that you know, I was like, I put in there that I was like, I'm not gonna let this do anything more than make me a better person. So rather that was me writing that, or if that was him, yeah, penning that with me, I'm not sure. So I guess I don't know what to recommend. I don't know what to, you know, I'm just grateful that I look back at all that and I have nothing but gratitude for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And so, you know, like, if somebody is asking questions, that's probably the best part, because it's almost kind of like, you're like, oh, well, there's somebody that's, if they're asking or if they are looking that way, to you guys' point of hope, like, it's like, well, you know, like, there's nothing in this life that you can't handle. If God put you on this earth, God has a plan for you in this earth. And so it's only your flesh that's telling you that this is too hard.
Yeah. It almost sounds like what I'm hearing is we have to let go of the pride that we have of this situation. Like, oh, I'm going to own the situation. I'm going to man up. And, you know, you don't have to give up your man card to follow Jesus. Mm-mm. And it sounds like the more you dove into the word and that relationship, that he guided you to everything else. Right. And that was my kind of your takeaway from how you were rambling.
I think also, like Andy does. I think, you know, one thing you can do for people that are around you is just live your new life
right
in front of them and show them that you are a transformed person. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's in your life or what kind of life you lived prior to, but if there's people that can see the big change, keep living that life, and eventually they're going to say, what has changed? Mm-hmm. What? Then that opens up that door to talk about it.
Sure.
You know, you mentioned the predestination thing. You know, God knows everything from the beginning to the end. I don't believe it's a predestination thing, but it's because we all have free will. Mm-hmm. But he had his hand on you your whole life,
sure,
waiting for you to have your own moment, your free will moment, your aha moment. And he said, okay, there you go. I've got you now. Because we can still fall,
sure,
even this moment. But, you know, God does have a plan for us, everyone listening. Yep. But we're the ones that has to actually take the steps towards that plan. And it's our own stupidity and our flesh that can make us take a left-hand turn towards sin, towards falling away from the plan. Pastor always says also the GPS, what is it, God's positioning system?
Yeah.
You know, you type in something on, you know, GPS on your computer, it'll tell you how to get there. But if you take a wrong turn, rerouting. So that's how we are in life a lot of times. You know, we think we know what's good for us. Even when we're on the right path for a minute, oh, here's something over here, squirrel. And we go over there. Probably him more so than anybody, squirrel.
Mr. Rightfield.
It'll always reroute. God will always reroute his plan to him. You just got to keep taking that path. And it's easy to get off that path.
But if you're not in the Word, having an actual 100%. Relationship,
right,
you're not going to know when he's repositioning.
Here we get further and further away.
I think my takeaway from everything that you said was ask questions. Mm-hmm. Ask questions.
I have questions.
That's
one of my favorite things to say. I have questions, and then ask them.
Well, I mean, in order to just say that, you have to have humility. I remember growing up, one of the things that smart people would come and teach to our schools and be like, How do you get to the point where I'm at? Ask questions. Be the annoying kid in the classroom that asks the questions.
It's true.
And when we start to ask questions, the answers will always come, especially when we're seeking the Lord.
Yep.
So that was a solid takeaway.
My son's perfect at it. Man, does he ask questions. I'll answer a lot of them. Then finally I'm like, I just don't know. He said, but Daddy, you know so much. Well, thank you. But I don't know this one.
He never said that.
Yeah, he does.
Who is that?
That you know so much. Oh.
I think that even whenever you're asking questions or you're being corrected, like, not to take it personal, you know, it's just, it's growth. You
right.
know, that's in the line of work that I've done ever since that I got out of college, it was, I would do work and somebody would, like, basically check it and go back and forth, and it's constructive criticism. And I think that whenever you latch on to the right people, like, you look at it as not, and somebody corrects you, don't beat yourself up about it. Say, oh, okay, I didn't know that, and learn from it.
Yep.
You know, that's that growth period. That's that humility of, like, well, we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Progress is the aim. Perfection's not.
Yeah.
Do you have a support system at home?
Oh, yeah. I've been blessed with some of the greatest people that I could have ever been asked or to have. There's I run around with, like, four or five really good friends, and then there's people that are – yes, I'm blessed with
like-minded is what I mean, like Christian based.
Probably not a whole, like, there's a couple people. I spent a lot of time with my dad, spent a lot of time with my with my mom and Andy on the phone, and there's one other person. So as far as, like, Christian faith, not a big group.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, so that's, but I think that I'll be led to, yeah, to my people.
I would encourage you to find that group, because your friends are your friends, don't get me wrong, and they probably are good dudes. I don't know them, but eventually they're going to start saying, you really still doing this thing? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they won't. But if you surround yourself with good godly men where you can actually go and get the godly advice and seek their wisdom instead of worldly wisdom, because a lot of times worldly wisdom is not the way to go. So I would just encourage you and anyone new in the faith, surround yourself with someone that you can go to that has strong background and strong faith. That way you can throw your ideas at them.
I think the big part about who you surround yourself with is, like, I want somebody around, and we have that here, is, hey, dummy, you're messing up, and this is what you need to do to get it get it fixed, and to call you out on the nonsense, in love, and inspired from God, of course.
But shout out to all the truck drivers out there. If you have it, a truck brought it.
You and these trucks. No, I'm just kidding. Andy hates when we call out the noise.
I'm just owning it right now.
But I do want to thank you for coming on and at least chatting with us, having this nice conversation. Always ask questions, always be humble, and always seek the Lord.
Amen.
Good stuff. Thanks for coming in today. We definitely appreciate it.
Cool.
You might have to do the ending today. Wow.
I like that voice.
This will be short and sweet. Get that sassy voice going on. You got this.
I think I do.
Well, check us out on all the platforms. MKDukeTalk.com. You're going to have to keep me honest here. Do the thing. We're on YouTube. We're growing. We appreciate the growth. We appreciate all the engagement. Keep it civil. You should be able to talk about anything and not get into the dirt. Give us a like. Subscribe. Share. Drop us a comment. Email us at mkdutalk@gmail.com. And questions, prayer requests, any of that's out there, you give us a shout. But thanks for listening.
If you're listening to us on our new platforms that were just...
Twitter,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify. Spotify, we're out there.
Yep. Rumble, YouTube, TikTok,
if you're listening
Facebook.
To us, and if you want to see us, make sure you hit up our YouTube.
Yeah, that's all you. That outro's you.
So for the sitting out yes man taking the place today is Mr. Brian. Again, we thank you for coming in today. For the always absent Andy.
Okay.
For the coach Ryan, for the host Josh, I am O2D2 Nick. I sound like that crazy Alex Jones guy right now, don't I?
A little bit. Just start screaming and
ranting. You won't believe the stuff that's happening today on Mountaineer Kingdom Dude Talk.
That was good.